Blog Talk Radio.
It's your crew chief Q. It's the Checkers of Records show on Speedway Anywhere, your all-inclusive motorsports show, and even some multi-sports. blogtalkradio.com/speedwayanywhere. You can also follow us at facebook.com/speedwayanywhere. That's our home page. And get the links to the podcast and whatnot, knowing the next shows are coming up. Feel free to call in and join the live show at 917-889-2053. We're live every Monday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Central, and sometimes we do live in-studio video on Facebook Live, do a live feed, and that's got the chat and everything on Facebook Live. YouTube Live as well. I won't be doing that one tonight, but typically, we're live up to 2 hours. We'll be joining in the Facebook Live thing once Captain Kurt gets on board with us. I'm your crew chief, Q. Captain Kurt should be joining us, too. Join in, phone in, watch in. 917-889-2053. Or join and chat on the Facebook feed. Facebook.com/SpeedwayAnywhere. All one word. /SpeedwayAnywhere. For the Two Wide Live feed, it's Thursday, April 18th, and that means that, well, first of all, let me start off by saying we apologize for the downtime last Thursday because of the massive snow. I could not get over here to the studio, the office, whatever you may call it. And then Monday, I had some pressing issues that took me all day and then into Tuesday morning. So that kept us off the air for the Monday show. But it looks like smooth sailing for a little while, at least up until June 3rd. We'll cover last weekend's events that we weren't able to, and we'll get to some Speedbit gossip. All the major series have Easter weekend off, but there's still some cool events going on in the grassroots and stepping stone divisions coming up this weekend. And we'll cover some of those results on Monday show, on the Monday recap. We'll get to more of that when we talk about the regional racing in the regional racing segment in a bit. We're now at 9 races in the Cup Series, 8 races in Xfinity, 5 in the Gander Outdoors Truck Series as far as NASCAR goes. NHRA has 5 events in the books after last weekend at Houston. Indy raced at Long Beach for the Long Beach Grand Prix last Sunday. One of my favorite IndyCar races, actually. But they raced at Long Beach Sunday, marking their 4th event of the year. Next up for Indy is going to be at Indy starting May 11th when they hit the Grand Prix. infield road course, and that's pretty much going to kick everything off right up until Memorial Weekend, as we know, the most wonderful day of the year when they hit the Indy 500 and then the Cup Series hits Coca-Cola 600 all on the same day. So as far as speed bit gossip of the last week, it's looking like single car qualifying is coming back after NASCAR is realizing the problems that it has caused. Road courses will still be group qualifying, but it doesn't look like group will happen anytime soon on the ovals for now. I'm relieved. No more manipulation and all that. Go back to what worked. Lots to talk about improvements to Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. Seems like they want it brought up to more than just the Xfinity and Truck Series, by the way. I think the Cup Series might be on the horizon to come back at Fairgrounds Speedway if this all goes into place the way that it's supposed to. A lot of whining going on from the neighborhood near Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway, as they've already had uproars about the roars of engines from the weekly series that races over there, and the weekly series even had to change the type of exhaust. I'm not going to call them mufflers, but the type of exhaust that they use. My only thing to say is don't buy a house by the fairgrounds with a racetrack. That's just foolish. Yeah, if you're going to complain about race car noise, don't move next to a racetrack. Come on. I mean, granted, these people have had these houses for quite some time. And according to a cohort of mine, 1904 was when the first racing was. I don't know if it was horse racing, steeplechasing, or whatnot kicked off there. But I know that the auto racing at Nashville has been around a lot longer than a lot of the houses in the area. This isn't some local neighborhood like Minneapolis or St. Paul Fairgrounds who only host auto racing during the fair. This is Nashville. And by the way, it's a damn shame about what happened here at our fairgrounds. But another one looking to make improvements, and the improvements have been well underway, is IRP, Indianapolis Raceway Park. They've been under improvement since the final race of 2018. And we might get two Xfinity races if the Xfinity series keeps racing at the big speedway. So between the super speedway and the short track with its improvements, we might even see a cup race there with the demand for short track racing. And Indianapolis Raceway Park definitely fits in that mold. So wait and see. 2021 schedule isn't released yet. As if the 2020 schedule wasn't a big enough shakeup, the 2021 schedule might be even bigger, if that's even possible. I guarantee, actually, the biggest surprises are yet to come in the schedule for 2021. A couple of changes announced for the All-Star Race format, and they'll also introduce some of the features of the next car, the Gen 7 car. They'll introduce some of the features of that car just for the All-Star event this year on Saturday, May 18th. Probably my favorite change to the All-Star race is the final segment is now 20 laps this year instead of the usual 10, the usual 10-lap sprint. There will be a variable between cars that are set up for short runs and the cars that are set up for longer runs. 20 laps is that nice kind of in between median mark, I guess I would have to say. So instead of just a 10 lap dash in the end, we'll see cars on varying strategies and whatnot as they run that 20 lap final segment. The first three segments, stages, yes, 30 and 20. I got my details screwed up here. Altogether, it's 90 laps. We'll talk about that more as the race gets closer. So we'll cover more of that when we recap the All-Star weekend on the Thursday before it. I believe that's going to make it May 16th. And we'll get more into the facts about what changes are going to be made to the cars just for that one weekend. One more speed bit before we break. I got to find out that the Streamline Hotel is no longer for sale. You might recognize the name Streamline Motel. That's or hotel as the birthplace of NASCAR. Basically, that's where Big Bill France, amongst all the guys, got together around that table, that famous picture where they had their discussion and NASCAR was made. It was up for auction April 1st through the 3rd. It was pulled from auction. It didn't meet the reserve bid or something to that effect. I didn't read the whole report, but it's no longer for sale. The developer, the guy that picked it up from the previous owner, has decided that he's going to hang on to it. I mean, it's a Streamline Hotel. Who wouldn't want to hang on to that? So that's my final speed bit before I break. We'll be right back. Jumping into the Facebook Live thing when Captain Kurt joins us. And then also you can interact on the show at any time by calling 917-889-2053. Again, 917-889-2053. We'll be going over to the homepage on Facebook as well as my own page, and going to pull up the Facebook live feed from my humble little studio office here in Minnesota. So let's get on to a little bit of results and standings up series. So it's still Coach Gibbs versus Captain Roger Penske. Gibbs Racing, where Kyle Busch has 3 wins and now 1 more with Martin Truex Jr. And then Roger Penske, Penske Racing, now has Brad Keselowski with 2 and Logano with 1. But now we got 5 drivers with a win instead of the 4 with the win year ends like it was prior to Richmond. That was during the first 8 cup races. Now we're into 9. Martin Truex, he pulled off his win and got his spot in the 2019 Chase and won for the first time on a short track in his cup career. I believe he had like 80 starts between Bristol, Richmond, and Martinsville. So this marked race number 81, I think it was, when he finally got one. And then, of course, like I said, his first win in 2019. So he'll be in the chase this year. Gotta like that. Who doesn't like Martin Truex Jr.? I mean, if you say you hate him, I don't know. You ain't gotta like him, but... It got really interesting toward the end when you think back to the Fall Martinsville race when Joey Logano moved Truex after Truex had got past him. Then on the final lap, Joey Logano moved him at the Martinsville race last end of October, I believe. So Logano was closing in on Truex after passing Clint Bowyer, and it kept you wondering, would Joey dare try that again? I didn't think he would. Different if it was coming down to different segments of the chase, you know, whether it's in the first, second, third round, or, well, even the championship. So Clint Bowyer looked like he might be the guy to beat Truex, but ended up 3rd. Bowyer held on to 2nd for quite some time, even looked like he was going to get the lead from Truex, but it didn't come out that way. Logano got past Bowyer, and the rest is history. Bowyer's Stewart Haas team has no wins this year, but is strong in points with Bowyer, Harvick, Amarola, and Suarez, who many times have finished all inside the top 10. Harvick, of course, picked up a top 5 along with Bowyer. A few names to make the top 10. Paul Menard isn't always the case. Austin Dillon. That's not always the case. Chris Buescher is another driver who has been showing a little promise as he ran strong lately, but he ended up having to settle for 22nd. Chris Buescher, though, has been in and out of the top 10. I believe he even led in the previous race or the one before that. So, but yeah, he ended up in 22nd. After all was sorted out at the end of Richmond. Kyle Larson, he struggled again. I don't know if he's got 1 good race of the 9. I think he's probably got about 8 bad races. Okay. Kyle Larson struggled again and finished last. Larson has hardly had any luck this year. And honestly, since his 2nd place finish at Chicagoland last year, to Kyle Busch, he really has not performed. So he didn't make it very far in the chase. I believe he was knocked out in the 2nd round, the round of 12 cars. So we'll see. Had a lot of talk going on a few different podcast shows about Kyle Larson and whether or not he needs to make a move. But even if he did, where would he go? So I'm going to leave it at that for right now. So when all was settled, the top five went to Martin Truex in first, second to Joey Logano, third was Clint Bowyer, fourth, teammate to Clint Bowyer, Kevin Harvick, and fifth went to Denny Hamlin, who continues to impress this year after going winless in 2018. Chase contenders Kyle Busch and Brad Keselowski, they made it into the top 10 as well, too. So the drivers with locks for the chase, this year's winners, all four were in the top 10. That, of course, once again being Kyle Busch, Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, and now Martin Truex Jr. Kyle Busch, he has three, Keselowski with two, Denny Hamlin with two, Martin Truex with one, and Joey Logano with one. I just said all that, but it was here in my notes as well. Next up is Kevin Harvick, based on points. Then Kurt Busch, Clint Bowyer, Ryan Blaney, and Chase Elliott. There's your top 10, nine races into the season this year, 2019, of course. The Cup Series takes their first weekend off of the season and will return at Talladega Sunday, April 28th. That will be the first race for the new engine package, because at Daytona, they still raced a restrictor plate, tapered spacer, whatever you want to call it. Now it's going to be a different engine package. So we'll see what Talladega looks like. Hopefully it changes up the freight train, whatever, single file. What bugs me the worst about the restrictor plates is when a guy goes and cuts a tire, and he's got to go to pit road, doesn't have anyone to draft with coming off of pit road. That just isn't right. You shouldn't have to rely on another car to stick with the pack. And which the case has been that even on a giant track like Talladega and Daytona, you still end up going a couple laps down as the field comes by, because you have no drafting help. So we'll see. We'll see. Maybe there's going to be enough acceleration for a car to get by on its own in those instances. Let's go to the Xfinity Series. The Xfinity Series also ran at Richmond on Friday night. Xfinity is in their Dash for Cash Series, and Cole Custer was the victor this time. There are two more races for the series regulars to compete for the $100,000 bonus per race. Cole Custer took the checkers Friday, followed by Austin Cindric in second, then Justin Allgaier in third. Allgaier has had some rough finishes, but he broke back into the top five at Richmond. Last year's champ, Tyler Reddick, he finished fourth. So there's the four drivers who are eligible for the $100,000 bonus at Talladega. Ryan Sieg, to round out the top five, he's been, I got to say, pretty good so far this year. And he, not that he was horrible in years past, but, you know, to pick off a couple top fives, top tens, whatnot, he's doing a lot better this year. Something notable was Elliott Sadler coming out of retirement at Richmond. Sadler retired from the number one car at Junior Motorsports last year, but he came out of retirement at Richmond. He's running like two races so far this year, but yeah, he was driving the colleague number 10 car, one that's also being shared with, I don't have it in my notes, Ross Chastain. So it's pretty much a home track for Sadler as far as Richmond goes. So I'm not surprised to see him pull his helmet out and come back to run there. It's not his best finish, finishing 12th, but he finished just outside the top 10, so not horrible either. So after not seeing Victory Lane till late in 2018, Cole Custer, this year he's already got 2 wins, 8 races into the year, I believe. So, yeah. Second went to Cendric Allgaier Reddick to round out that top four for the eligible, or to be eligible for the $100,000 at Dega. And then again, Ryan Sieg rounded the top five. Current points right now, as far as drivers with a lock for the chase, Cole Custer has 2 wins. Christopher Bell has 2 wins. Michael Annett, of course, won Daytona. And so that's 5 of the 8 races. You might notice there's a problem there. Well, obviously, the problem is Kyle Busch got the other wins. So I think Kyle Busch is eligible for one more start in the series. I think that's going to be at Watkins later this year. So, but yeah, so there's your drivers in the top five. Cole Custer, 2 wins. Christopher Bell, 2 wins. Michael Annett, 1 win. Top as far as points, last year's champ, Tyler Reddick. And then Austin Cendric rounds out the 5 drivers. Well, Tyler Reddick and Cendric are 4th and 5th in line as far as they're looking for a chase berth in September. I really screwed up on my notes, and I apologize if I sound kind of awkward here, but that's okay. The Xfinity Series also has the weekend off before returning at Talladega on Saturday, April 27th, in their 3rd race of the Dash for Cash Showdown, as mentioned. Now, in the Truck Series, there's only one guy with a win, and that is Austin Hill. He's the only driver with a win. And the points next in line are led by Stuart Friesen. Of course, this is all due to Kyle Busch taking wins away. So don't worry. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Kyle Busch can't run any more than 5 races each in both the or either the Truck Series and the Xfinity Series. So the I'm losing myself here. The Gander Truck Series is still off this weekend and the following weekend, and they're going to return at Dover Friday, May 3rd, as they rejoin the Xfinity Series and Cup Series at Dover. I'm getting a little confused by my notes, but I'm going to fast forward to something else. The NHRA, the force is strong. Brittany Force set a top field qualifying record for Houston, where she won last year, by the way. And Papa John, John Force, top qualifying for Funny Car. So there's Brittany Force and John Force taking the top qualifying positions in top field and Funny Car. Furthermore, it was the Force drivers taking the finals. Robert Height from John Force Racing, he beat the boss, John Force, in the Funny Car semifinals and went on to take the final. Robert Height in Funny Car won that one. And then Brittany Force beat out Antron Brown in the final in top field. So it was 2 of the Force team winning Funny Car in top field on Sunday. And then, like I said, Brittany taking the track record for top field on Friday. And then, of course, John Forest took top of qualifying for funny cars. So great weekend for them. NHRA Pro Stock had the weekend off, as well as NHRA Pro Bike. They did have the Pro Mod. Yeah, Pro Stock Mod there. And they also had the Harley Pro Bike there as well. So there were some familiar faces from the mainstays of the NHRA. It's going to be four wide again at Charlotte, April 26th through the 28th. I wish every format was four wide. I mean, put it this way, it's an easier day on the fans. It's an easier day on everyone except for the mechanics. They got to get the cars, the motors and whatnot changed over a little faster because you don't have the downtime with cars only going two at a time. So four, I can live with that. I don't know why tracks like Vegas and Charlotte don't use their four wide option at both events of the year, but it's what it is. So I'm going to take a quick little Gatorade break, and when I come back, we'll cover some Indy and get to more of the SpeedVic gossip going on regionally and otherwise.
I wish I had something I could shot through the window. But that's the 11th time this year I've gotten the hell knocked out of me. It just gets frustrating after a while.
11th car got into me, cut the left front down. We run like shit all day anyway.
Well, that Ward Burton just can't catch a break, can he? So, IndyCar. IndyCar ran at the Long Beach Grand Prix. And probably one of the coolest looking street course tracks out there. They got a few things built into it for the Grand Prix. You got that really cool fountain turn, kind of a chicane, kind of not. And overall, if I had to go to an Indy road course, I would probably choose Long Beach. Alexander Rossi, he dominated the race, obviously won the race. Guys like Graham Rahal and Scott Dixon and others were up in the top five, but none of them had a shot at Rossi. Little controversy at the end. Graham Rahal came across the line in third in front of Scott Dixon. The officials decided that Graham Rahal had blocked Scott Dixon. I don't quite understand the blocking rules, and it did look like Graham Rahal was sort of kind of trying to give Scott Dixon, the outside lane, going into the final turn. Come on. If Graham Rahal did a little brake check on Scott Dixon, it was clearly obvious. So Graham Rahal was relegated to fourth spot and didn't get on the podium. And Scott Dixon was given third place. Something else that was really cool about the IndyCar weekend at Long Beach, the Robbie Gordon Stadium Super Truck Series made their run after the finish of the IRL race. So I got more results on that in a little bit. But yeah, that series is alive and well. But IndyCar also won't be on the track next weekend, just like NHRA, just like all the NASCAR divisions. Even World of Outlaws is taking the weekend off. But IndyCar will return May 11th in the Enfield Road Course at Indianapolis. And then after that, they'll begin their practice on the 14th through the 17th, I believe. And then on the 18th kicks off IndyCar qualifying for the Indy 500. And then the following weekend, of course, the big Indy 500, followed by the big Coca-Cola 600 at Charlotte. So it's amazing. It seems like we just opened up the season. And speaking of which, I don't even think my show was on air at this time last year. No, it wasn't. I got a little announcement about that too, by the way, coming up here. So the ARCA series, the Salem Kentuckiana 200 at Salem Speedway, Michael Self ended up taking the win. I believe that's his second victory of the year. Yep. And then last week's winner, young Sam Mayer, took second place. And then Carson Haasever, hopefully I got one of the two right there, took third. Tanner Gray pulled off a seventh place finish. He's doing extremely well since he transitioned from the NHRA and now racing in stock cars. So Harrison Burton filled in for Christian Eckes, who had to sit out due to illness. He's expected to come back soon, but yeah, I believe Christian Eckes would have had the points lead had he been able to race that day. I might have to double check my facts on that, but I know there's some truth in there somewhere. As far as points go in the ARCA series, Travis Braden, who finished 12th at Salem, he leads the ARCA series points with Michael Self with two wins. And the only other driver with a victory is Harrison Burton, who landed in eighth at the end of the race at Salem, the Kentuckiana. I like saying that. Kentuckiana. It just rolls off the tongue good. ARCA will open up the weekend April 26th at Talladega when the Cup and Xfinity Series come back. So feel free to phone in 917-889-2053. We'll be doing the live feed on Facebook Live. You can reach that if you're on my own personal page. It will be up on there. Otherwise, you can go to facebook.com/speedwayanywhere, and it will be on that page. Feel free to follow that page. That's where you get all your updates for showtime, times, make it sound like I'm making trying to fill a movie theater or something. As far as the times that we're on the air here at Speedway Anywhere. So I'm going to take a quick little bumper break. And when I come back, we're going to cover a bit about the World of Outlaws.
Finally, the show is over.
Yeah, no such luck there, Brittany. So,
not quite yet.
No. So yeah. Keep going here. World of Outlaws sprint car series ran at. That's really loud.
I know.
At Devil's Bow Speedway in Mesquite, Texas on April 12th. I'm not seeing any results for the scheduled event there the following day on the 13th. Kind of confused about that. So maybe it was a rain out, something like that. Friday's win, though, went to Logan Schuscher. S-C-H-U-C-H-A-R. I hate it when, you know, the events like the World of Outlaws, when they're not getting televised and I don't hear the correct pronunciation of these guys' names. So I'm just going to call him Logan. Logan battled with Daryl Pittman back and forth. But it was Logan that emerged as the winner. Current points coming out of Devilsville Speedway are Brad Sweet. Dude Sweet. And then the Shots. Donnie Shots, second place in points. Then Daryl Pittman, who was battling for the lead at Devilsville Speedway, he's third in points. Friday's win was Logan's second of the year, and he's fifth in the points at this point. The redundancy in what I just said. He's fifth in points in the points. The Outlaws also have the weekend off this weekend. More redundancy, the weekend off this weekend. And come back for a triple header on April 26th. April 26th, they'll be at Lake Ozark Speedway in Missouri. Where else would it be? I mean, Lake of the Ozarks. And then on April 27th, they'll be at I-55 Speedway in Peavey, Missouri. And then Sunday, April 28th, at Jacksonville Speedway, not Florida, but Jacksonville, Illinois. I wanted to mention... the World of Outlaws, Friday, July 5th, and Saturday, July 6th, at Cedar Lake Speedway, for you in the area, inside, outside the Twin Cities and into Wisconsin and wherever you may be. I don't even think it'd be that long of a jaunt from, oh, even Chicago, I don't think.
I got to wonder real quick here. I got to look up. I'm wondering if this is the largest area that they're in, closest to a metropolitan area that they're in. I've never looked that up.
Yeah, it's got to be because, I mean, the next nearest is like Madison, Wisconsin, or
yeah,
something to that effect. So that's my guess.
Are they still in Indianapolis? Do they do anything there?
Oh, you're saying something entirely different here. I was making reference to that the Twin Cities is probably the closest as far as large areas to Cedar Lake Speedway.
Oh, okay.
The World of Outlaws, they run in all kinds of metropolises. So
yeah, I would think that they would.
So, once again, people, 917-889-2053. I'm going to, next time I cut a break here, actually, I'm going to do it kind of on the fly here. But yeah, the World of Outlaw late models are going to be at Cedar Lake Speedway as well on August 1st. So that's another huge event for them. Trying to get this Facebook Live thing going.
And people from Elko, give us a call. You know you want to call because it's going to be 70 degrees on Saturday. If you can't get those cars out there yet, at least you could get on air, talk about them a little, like you were going to get them out on Saturday. Think about that.
Elko's not open.
I know.
Making me lose my spot here. Trying to get the... Oh, yeah. Facebook Live is going to be open in just a second here. As soon as I can get the Speedway Anywhere page alive and well, we'll be live over there as well as on my own personal page. Sorry this is taking so long. Everything is slowing on down. It's like an anti-speedway or something. I don't know. What would you call that?
And I call that a rain delay.
Now I just need to do one more thing so it doesn't look like I'm talking to myself. Here we go. All right. So I'm going to give you guys some audio of the Blog Talk Radio feed, and we'll be on our way. All right. You got me, Kurt?
Yeah, I got you, unfortunately.
All right.
And I'm letting go.
Making sure that's all working. So let's catch up on some K&N. Pro Series. K&N also, like everyone else, they're off on this weekend. They're off the following weekend. So, and then the K&N East Series will be back on Saturday, May 4th for a true doubleheader at South Boston Speedway for the Twin 100s. So, both on the same day, Saturday, May 4th. The K&N West Series will be at Tucson on May 11th, where they also will have a true doubleheader in the Port of Tucson Twin 100s. So back-to-back weekends for doubleheaders for the K&N Pro Series. Not sure what drivers, other than the series regulars, will be appearing. I don't know if Tanner Gray is going to be out on the west or maybe even on the east. We'll see. I got to check something cool last night. Being that stadium super trucks aren't, you know, always televised right away or if at all, I got to see online through the miracles of CBS Sports, I was able to watch stadium super trucks. That, of course, being Robbie Gordon Stadium Super Trucks. There are now three events into the 2019 season after the opener at Austin, Texas, and then Texas Motor Speedway. And then they wrapped up the weekend after the IRL at Long Beach, where they ran their event. First event went to Matt Brabham and then Sheldon Creed. And then boss man Robbie Gordon, he was doing good, but then he wrecked coming to the checkers and ended up finishing ninth of 10 drivers. Race number two, the following day, boss man Robbie Gordon battled after Creed fell out. Creed ended up getting wrecked early on, but never made it back to the front. So Matt Brabham was Gordon's only competition. Another two-wheel salute, and you got to see that if you haven't seen it, Kurt. And it's really cool because they get the trucks, they go halfway on the ramp, halfway off the ramp, and they get themselves up on the side of their tires and go around, and they literally make it through the turns up on two wheels on their side. It's really awesome. So yeah, the two-wheel salute from the Super Stadium trucks at Long Beach. As far as points go, yes, they actually keep track of points in this series. Matt Brabham, he's got the lead in points. Sheldon Creed, he's second in points. I'm not sure how many races he'll be running. I know he's pretty much committed on the stock car end of things. Gavin Harlan, he's third in points. And then Robbie Gordon is fourth. And then Blade Hildebrand in fifth. Blade's always up in front. Surprised he doesn't win more. I was looking where the next race is going to be, and it's at a place called TVA. Yeah, I mean, I want to know where this TVA is. But yes, they have the their next actual announced race is July 26th through the 29th at Mid-Ohio. But yeah, I'm gonna go to this TVA track. It's some super secret with no information.
You know, one place I think would be cool, though, mentioning Cedar Lake and all that. Could you imagine having the super truck series at around like Somerset and around Cedar Lake and that, because of how hilly it is, and that too. We imagine that those guys going down those hills, going off of a jump. Oh, that would be cool.
Well, they race at Road America, Lake Elkhart.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's scheduled for this year. Sometime in August, the Super Stadium Trucks or Stadium Super Trucks, whatever, they'll be at Lake Elkhart again. That's where Greg Biffle came out and ran there. Greg Biffle will be running the Truck Series race at Texas, joining the IRL, the IndyCar Series, for their race following their following the Indy 500, that will be the first race. Them, so looking forward to that one. I just love seeing them jump the pit wall. That's just too cool. Love it. Let's talk some regional racing. I'm just double checking something here. All right. Like I've been saying forever, I need a producer. I really do. So I don't sit here and fumble on screens and whatnot. First regional, the Rain Postponed race, the Icebreaker 100 at Dells Raceway Park on April 7th. They'll be making another go of it this Saturday, April 20th. It's kind of hard to say what drivers will be showing up after that, you know, planning and making the track. I don't know how many from how far for the April 7th race just get rained out. And then, of course, some of these drivers have other commitments coming into this weekend as far as their main track or their own touring division or whatnot. But yeah, due to funds and scheduling conflicts, it's kind of up in the air on the lineup. But as you might remember, there's a certain guy that hit a pace car in the ARCA series who was scheduled to be there. Are you still there? Okay, we've lost Kurt. Not quite sure what happened on his end. I got to go back to the... I lost you.
Okay. I'm here.
No, it disappeared for some reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Rain Postponed Icebreaker 100 at the Dells. Remember the certain ARCA driver that hit the pace car was scheduled to be there?
That's exactly who I was thinking about.
Yeah. So who knows if this Saturday his schedule will still be open, but I hope somebody gets some good video of that race in the Dells. I got to see what this guy looks like now. I mean, he's kind of a...
What if he's got hair all of a sudden? Think about that.
Say.
Yeah. What if he's all buff, all in shape all of a sudden and completely fine? Well, he's still driving, so he's doing something right.
Yeah. He looked kind of like a hunchback or something, the way that his head was all bowed forward.
Yep.
So, yeah. Okay, I'm mumbling on here. Fairground Speedway in Nashville, that's been the talk of the town lately as far as who's going to fund it and what NASCAR series will be coming back there once the improvements are made. And then, of course, you got neighbors complaining about noise from the regular late model division that races there. And they don't want to see even louder cars there. But like I said earlier in the show, what kind of fool buys a house next to a fairgrounds that has a racetrack if they're going to whine about the noise?
I'm sorry, but if you live in Nashville, Tennessee, you should not complain about any kind of noise. And I think there's some people out there that know exactly what I'm talking about.
You know that Fairground Speedway is actually going to be adjoined by a new soccer stadium.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So it's part of the plan for the fairgrounds overall. One more thing about Nashville. Yeah, they had a rainout. Their regular late model series kicks off Saturday. ARCA is right around the corner, too, with their event May 4th. For the hometown boys and girls, Elko is set to open May 25th for the stunt show, not the stock car show. And then the stock cars will hit the track June 1st for their season opener. Also, mark your calendar for the ARCA series coming to town July 13th at Elko. And you can buy tickets to the Hey, Brian. Good to see you chimed in. You can buy tickets at any Menards or most Menards. And I believe they're a little cheaper, and it's always nice to pick them up in advance, just in case the, if the event show, screwing up my words. If the event sells out, then that's one less worry, especially when you got to make the drive all the way down to a place that far from the Twin Cities or wherever you may be coming from. But yeah, Menards always has tickets for the ARCA series. What's next? Oh, another thing about Elko. The Bandit Big Rig series, you know, the semi trucks. They'll be back July 27th. So, so the Bandit Big Rigs will be back in July. And the Stock Car Division will run their final event September 21st. That is the Ryan Memorial, the Thunderstruck 93 for the finale of their season. So look forward to that September 21st. More news and highlights for regional events as they come available, including the NHRA at Brainerd for us Minnesota dwellers, August 15th through the 18th this year. So that's the plan for that.
Speaking of Brainerd, I want to know if the 24 Lemon series, from what I saw last year, on I only saw it on Wikipedia, so might not be true, I don't know. But they were going to have the Grand Prix of Minneapolis at Brainerd. If somebody could find that out for me, I'd really appreciate it.
You have a computer.
Yeah. I'm trying to get somebody from Brainerd for that.
So here's one for you. Did you know that Bernie Trotz got a job?
No.
He ended up, he ended up getting the job with New York. So, apparently there's a lot of talk about how New York, the Islanders. By the way, we're into our multi-sport segment at this point, people. So we're going to cover a few things here, some fun if and whatevers. But yeah, Trotz ended up with the Islanders, and they're in postseason. So, sometimes it's good to have the Trotz.
I guess so.
So what do you think of the Thielen deal, the 4-year, $16,000 a year?
Well, we have to keep him. I don't mind him sticking around, and we had to give him a nice little boost in pay, so got no complaints about him, Stefan. You know, despite the year that they had, you know, and I think they're actually expected to be a halfway decent team this year.
It $64,000, $16,000 a year doesn't sound like that much when you compare it to quarterbacks, but $16,000 a year, I bet you there's some non-starting quarterbacks that are getting a hell of a lot less than that.
Oh, yeah.
And there's quarterbacks that get 20 mil a year. So that's only 4 mil more than, you know, the 16 that Thielen's get. So.
And
thoughts
Kirk
on
Cousins
the
was...
new field, Allianz, that just opened?
No complaints by people, and a little cold, the tie against NYCFC, but they'll take it, and despite the cold weather, nobody complained about it. Everybody seems to like it, so let's probably get some other events in there, and let's go loonies. You're not bad right now. You may not be great, but you're not bad. So just, you know, give us a reason to party.
It was definitely cold for a few different crowds because the Twins played that same afternoon.
Trust me, you were. Yeah, I was there and still kind of a fun little crowd. I was there with my goddaughter. We were having a fun time, and she's graduating here in less than 2 months, so looking forward to it.
Once again, people, 917-889-2053 if you want to join in on the conversation. We're a little over an hour into the show. We're in our multi-sports segment, so I've pretty much covered everything as far as NASCAR, NHRA, Indy Racing, and as well as ARCA, the World of Outlaws, a fringe division, I'll call them, the Super Stadium Trucks. So,
And I do got to mention one thing, though, about the Minnesota Twinkies. One thing, people, we do not play good against the Toronto Blue Jays at Target Field. That's it's kind of painful when they come into town. It's kind of nice, too, that they always come in.
I was thinking about it, being that it's a four-game stand. It's kind of nice just to get that out of the way.
Oh, God.
And then move on to other teams that we can beat.
Yeah, because, you know, people always talk about us and the Yankees. Bring up Toronto. I know it's not the Toronto Blue Jays of the early 90s, but I'm going back a while. But that's another team we have a problem with, because we can beat Boston. We can, you know, or else we can compete. Even against the Yankees at home, we can compete against them sometimes. And it's Toronto is just one of them teams we just do not do good against.
All right. I'm going to keep going so we can get back to some auto racing news. But, yeah, Allianz Field open. The Twins are pretty well into their season at this point. For those of you from Minnesota here. Do you care about Tiger Woods any less than I do?
I do think it's cool. Just, you know, it's Tiger Woods. And certainly I'm not bored with this. It's just, what can he do now? I don't follow golf super closely, but it was a cool thing to see. For me, I just thought it was cool. And two, you know, like if you like golf, you know, what do you think of this? I mean,
by the way, we had the Gumphrey brothers listening in tonight. We got Matt and Brian.
Oh, wow. Oh. Huh.
So,
cool.
Once again, you're folks, if you want to join the live conversation, you can chime in at 917-889-2053. Also, we are up on Facebook Live. You got the Facebook Live feed coming from both my own personal page and the Speedway Anywhere page. So you can join in the chat.
Did you show the world the door stopper tonight?
What's that?
Did you show the world the door stop tonight?
I think the microphone is kind of blocking it.
Oh, okay.
Actually, no, I can see it now. So let's see where I was at, because now I'm totally lost in that I switched over to the Facebook Live feed. As far as Tiger Woods, I'm just like, meh, whatever. It's, and not that I ever jumped on the golf thing to begin with, but it's all I hear about as far as sporting news, and then as far as the sporting news, sports radio, and everything online, it's just Tiger this, Tiger that, blah, blah, blah. So, hey, there's a band that rehearses in the building here, and they're playing that I Got My Sign, I Got My Orange Crush. They're playing song right now. Yeah.
Wow.
So what's going on in basketball lately besides the NCAA hangover and Special Ed still trying to calculate the cost of tickets to see Air Bud?
Well, I'm still trying to, because my interest the last week of the season just totally went out. So I'll probably pay more attention starting next week when the playoffs really get going. Just year in and year out, I like to see somebody different, but let's be real. That team from the West Coast will probably do something. However, LeBron is not on a playoff team. So that's interesting.
Huh. No comment on the cost of tickets to see Air Bud?
Well, I can bring five friends. I do know that. I can't even bring myself to see an NBA playoff game, though. That I can't. But I know, hell, I could probably even bring more than five friends to see Air Bud now.
Anything else on the multi-sports front?
The Tampa Bay Lightning are done in the NHL, and they were the number one team. That's happened before in the NHL. And, you know, can Vegas do it again? I don't know, but...
Yeah, the closest I can say I've got to Tampa Lightning is outside of their stadium. It was pretty cool. I was catching a big dolphin... Dolphin Watch boat right across the street from their stadium back in 2015. It's pretty cool. So yeah, because of difficulties and the last time we were on that Monday, I didn't get to cover the fact that Ross Chastain just isn't doing it for you, Kurt.
No, he's not.
So the dude who's your car battle, I chose Harvick. I know he outscored Chastain, but it wasn't by much for the Bristol race. So we're going to wait until obviously everyone's got the weekend off, so we're going to wait to make our picks until a week from today on that Thursday. But, yeah, Chastain hasn't really sucked lately. He just – he's not your – he's not your dream of a driver.
Well, you know, one thing with these – with these weekends off, because basically everyone's got it, I wonder what a guy like Roger Penske does when nothing is going on. I just wonder what he does on a Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah, hard to tell.
Yeah. Yeah, what he does. Come on, Roger, give us a call.
Let's see. I think we're going to end up ending early tonight because we got 43 minutes on the clock and we're already cruising into final laps. But as many may or may not be aware, there was 8 cars sent to the back for the start because of inspection violations and whatnot at Richmond.
Huh.
8. There were 37 cars in the field. Now, can you imagine if every car has violations and gets sent to the back? And it's not like they can tell them, oh, well, since you all did it, you're all going to start a lap down. Well, that would put them all on the same lap.
Yeah.
Or if they all had qualifying violations, like if you don't take a lap and qualifying, you get sent to the back. What if nobody takes a lap? So, I mean, this
you
is
know,
like when I think of like driver walkouts and whatnot, and the first one that comes to mind, obviously, is the 1969 Talladega race, the first race, where there was a huge issue about the tires not being safe. And then there was Indian folklore about spirits that were coming up because there were Native Americans buried on those grounds. And what if every driver just said, screw you?
Jeez.
I know that Bill France Jr. and Bill France Sr. even, you know, they said NASCAR can survive without you. Well, not if they don't have any drivers.
Yeah.
I mean, what are they going to do? Sit around and talk about racing like we are?
Could you imagine if you had, who would be the all-star conversation sensationalist of NASCAR? Ward Burton, by far. He would have to be up there. A round table of NASCAR's best talkers. Number one, Ward Burton.
I wish I had something like a shot through the window. That's the 11th time this year I've gotten the hell knocked out of me. It just gets frustrating after a while.
11th car got into me, cut the left front down. We run like shit all day anyway.
Yep, Ward Burton. And then, of course, Robbie Gordon would be great. He'd be at the table. Jimmy Johnson couldn't be up there. He's just too boring of a talker that I've seen.
He's a piece of shit.
Well, see, Robbie Gordon even agrees with me, so.
All right, who else?
And then?
Oh, God. The best of the new guys. Definitely have to have Kurt Busch up there so that way everybody could have somebody to hate. Yep. Why? Kurt Busch would be up there. Yep. Have to have them up there. God.
Yeah. And Darryl Trip's retiring, so.
Can't. Because I was thinking about DW right away, but then I just thought. Yeah.
So, yeah, I do find it interesting when you penalize 8 cars that go to all have to start at the back of a field that's already 3 cars short of the 40.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. And
has anybody ever?
Anybody ever won?
No, I got to look this up. I'm wondering if anybody's ever finished in the top 10 at any point in the Cup Series history, be it pre-Cup or post-69, post-70, pre-70, post-70, who's ever finished a lap down, at least one lap down in the top 10.
Oh yeah,
I've never heard of it. I could see it way back happening, but
no, I remember plenty of races with no even as little as 4 cars on the lead lap.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
it really? Wasn't that
wow?
So,
wow.
Yeah, one thing I was going to mention about that: a driver set get sent to the back. They also lose their pit spot selection. So, that's something that wasn't always in place too. So, let's move on from that subject. Do you think the Xfinity Series needs an all-star race, or does the Dash for Cash program, is that good enough?
They could, but I don't think that they really need one. Do the Dash for Cash thing, though, because, you know, these guys are trying to break up. Most of them are anyway, because you got a few major leaguers. You got a few major league all-stars that suddenly go down to AAA to get more attention. I'd say stick with the Dash for Cash. If you want an all-star game, if you want an all-star race, go ahead, but you really don't need one.
And the cool thing, NASCAR made the Dash for Cash exclusive. Basically, it's only for the series regulars, and that makes it where the – what am I trying to say? You have to be a series regular. Pretty much full timer. You can't be a Kyle Busch, and you can't be somebody that just comes in and runs 3 races throughout the season. Regardless of what your status is and other series and whatnot, you have to be challenging for points in the Xfinity division. So far we have Christopher Bell got Bristol, and then Cole Custer got it for Richmond, and then now going into Talladega, it's who are the top 4? Cole Custer, Austin Cendrick, Tyler Reddick, and Justin Allgaier. Justin Allgaier took 3rd. He's had a pretty rough run lately. So. Mm. But yeah, they got it right on the design of the Dash for Cash. We're coming close to the end here. And I'm gonna go for one nice little controversial thing. Regardless of the improvements out there at Elko, do you think it's gonna survive only doing 8 regular stock car weekends? I mean, sure, they have the big rig bandits, and they had the ARCA series, but the rest of it's all just stunt shows as far as the Eve of Destruction.
I think if you have your local series out there, then it will. That's on how what will make it. And I think through that,
they're only running 8 races of the local series. There's only 8 events. There used to be over 20 and more.
Yeah.
You know?
And
you've had a mid-season championship showdown in July. They don't have enough races to even have a mid-season championship now.
I think that they'll have to do more of that. I think if I almost hate to say it, racing right now, and I think despite lower TV ratings over the last few years, although they might have went up a little here, there has to be a Tiger Woods moment here at some point with racing, and I think literally that would actually help out Elko, because that Tiger Woods moment helped out golf, and they need something like that, and that's what will help Elko and everywhere else for that matter. I think I just think it just needs to get more popular, racing in general. And and you know, yeah.
Here's the flip side of that coin.
It.
Here's the flip side of that coin. Now, when you consider what made them go down to 8 local series, rigor,
yeah,
Saturday night racing. What made them go down to 8 to begin with? Is it that the late model drivers, and all them can't afford to run a full 20 race season? It's one of those, what came first, the chicken or the egg, you know? Why have they gone the route that they did when they reduced it to 8? I watched the car come dwindle from just under, let's call it 25 to 30 cars, and then go and see 12 cars show up on another night. So it's just depressing. They go and put up all those improvements and whatnot, and then just to reduce their local series.
Yeah.
As far as late models, the Thunder cars,
the cost per team, it could be the participation level is probably playing a part in this. And it's about just getting butts into the seats too. I mean, Elko's place like Elko, they're into the bottom line too, but yeah, they're just, yeah. What happened here?
Yeah. It seemed rather abrupt.
Yeah.
It really did.
And,
I mean, those cars don't pay for themselves, and by the time you wreck one, you're pretty much done until somebody comes along and with the know-how to help you put that thing back together, or maybe you got to, I don't know, step down to a division where it's not as costly, or just whatever the case may be. So, hi, Cindy. I see you chimed in. I don't know. I don't want to beat a dead horse with that subject, but I would like to know who's making the decisions where you go and sink millions of dollars into a speedway and then reduce the races. We used to go out there in the middle of April, about this time of the year, and kick off the season. And now the first race is until June 1st.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
I do want to hear. I would love somebody to call in. What local tracks across the country are doing just fine? There's got to be some that are just, and there's probably a few that might even be booming right now because you're not hearing them. You're not hearing about them. So, yeah.
Well, it all depends upon what, I mean, as far as asphalt Saturday night, I don't hear a lot about it. Now, I do know that the dirt track, all of us are doing okay.
Okay.
I mean, there are a lot of work to maintain the track, but it once you have the equipment and whatnot, it's not as much to maintain. Now, like I was reading up on some drivers, and they go, "Oh my God, the tire bill gets so much cheaper when you switch to dirt."
Yes.
Because you can use the same tires over and over.
Yeah.
It's not always the case, dirt, but. So. All right. I think we're going to call it a wrap here. Victory Lane. Victory Lane goes to the fact that Kyle Busch hasn't been to Victory Lane in the Buster Truck Series for quite a while. To me, that's a huge, that's a victory for a lot of us. And the drivers in those series. So yeah, it's kind of nice. I think Kyle's got like one more race in the, truck series and, maybe he's got one.
I have a victory. I have a couple of victory lanes, but primarily, I know I'm not in charge here, but you know, I like to say Tiger Woods. I'd actually like to give a shout out to the Minnesota Twins, who aren't, despite this 3 out of 4 against Toronto, they're off to a decent little start here. I know it's still early, but primarily, if I had to give one absolute victory lane to right now, spring. Oh,
it didn't feel like it yesterday, so whatever.
Not yesterday, but on Saturday it will. That's why I was just saying, people from Elko, call in. You can't get your cars out there on the track yet, but at least here you can act like you are. So call in once in a while. You have before.
Oh, I've got some Elko drivers on the horizon here, just not sure when yet. So. All right, I want to give it a wrap. Hey, folks, we'll catch up on some news from the weekend on Monday. And even though most series are taking the weekend off, we'll recap a little bit of the regional stuff going on. And then on Monday, that will be the one-year anniversary since our first show. April 22nd, we actually kicked it off on a Sunday, but April 22nd is on a Monday for our Monday show, so we'll recap the weekend. I'm going to let y'all go, I'm going to let you go, so.
Okay,
we'll be back.
Roger Penske, call in. Okay.
So.
All right.
Oh, damn it. You can't find my button. There it is.
Okay. Found it.